have scripture today. Nehemiah is going to read for us.
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading comes out of the book of Acts 4, verse 10 to 13. Let me clearly state to all of you and tell all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, "The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven which will you must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been healed had been with Jesus.
Let us kneel as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your mercies and your love and your goodness to us. Thank you for this beautiful day you have given us to come to worship you. Please bless your church as we meditate and listen to your word and just fellowship together. Send your Holy Spirit. May we feel you. May we be closer to you today. Just help us to have a good experience so that we can just have a good time at church. We want to also pray for our offering that's going to be collected. May you bless every person who is able to give and those who are not able to give as well. And may you know each our problems and you know our hearts, Lord. So please bless us and be with us. Also be with Brother Andrew if he speaks your word, and just send your Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, at this time, it's an honor for me to introduce Brother Andrew Manthi. Andrew Manthi comes to us from the Rock River Church. He has served as a lay preacher for 15 years. Andrew is an author and has a degree in religion from Pacific Union College. So, Brother Andrew, may the Lord bless you today. Thank you.
Well, I count it all joy. Let me see if this is working. There we go. I count it all joy to be here at the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. You know, I contacted your pastor about a year ago, indicating my willingness to preach. So I think he must have checked all my FBI files or something, you know, before he let me in. But, you know, the pastor's very gracious because I thought, well, if this is his last official Sabbath, I bet you I'm going to get a call on Thursday before this Sabbath and say, oh, by the way, this is the pastor's last Sabbath, so he'll be speaking. But I understand since he's staying that I'm sure he'll be speaking again. So I'm not taking his place by any means. Notice our title. What's our title for our sermon? God uses ordinary people. Now, some of you may consider yourself extraordinary, but there'll still be something in the sermon for you. But most of you are like me. I consider myself a very ordinary person. You know, in this world, if you want to get ahead, people say, well, do whatever you need to do. If you need to step on other people to get ahead, do it. And in the world's view, the highest level you can reach is where everybody's serving you. And you're serving nobody. That's the world's construct. But of course, God's system is opposite the world's, isn't it? Notice some of these verses, Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. Who's the greatest? A servant. Now, you know, that tells us what our station in life should be, that we should seek to serve. Didn't Jesus come here and serve? You know, he deserved to be on a throne and adored by the masses, but instead he had to serve, and then he died for us. A second verse, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now, I should have said this is an example of Hebrew parallelism. Now, in Hebrew parallelism, God says the same thing twice, but the second time, he uses different words so you have a better understanding of the concept at hand. So the first line is, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And if we just stop there, you might say, oh, I'm a minister, I'm great. But we have to finish the Hebrew parallelism. The second part says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Your servant. You know, we often refer to pastors and elders as servant leaders. And do we need leadership in the church? We surely do, but the greater part is to be a servant. But we need to be both servants and leaders. Well, a few more verses that talk about God's system that's opposite the world system. Matthew 10:31. But many that are first shall be what? Last, and the last first. You see, God has a totally different order of things, and many people who were looked down upon in this earth, God will exalt in his timing, right? We don't have to pursue exaltation. God says he will exalt us in his timing. And finally, Luke 9:48, he that is least among you all, the same shall be what? The same shall be great. So the question for me, the question for you is, are you living as a servant? If the answer is yes, I think you're on heaven's road to that eternal kingdom. Now we're going to look at some examples of how God used people who were ordinary people. And hopefully this will be, you know, give you some hope. If you feel ordinary like me, then you can have a great place in God's work if you do what? Cooperate with him, right? We need to cooperate. So Judges 6, we're starting with verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat down under an oak, which was at Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Why did they have to hide it from the Midianites? Because the Midianites, Israel was subservient to the Midianites. The Midianites could just take it away. So they had to kind of hide that. And the angel of the Lord. Now, is that important that an angel of the Lord comes to you? Would that be an important event? Do you think you might share that in church? If an angel came, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, we're talking about Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, what would be the A-plus response from Gideon to this angel's message? What do you think that would have been? Well, why would an angel say you're a mighty man of valor unless he was going to give you a task that required what? Valor, right? So that's the A-plus. The A-plus answer would be, what shall I do, angel? What task have you given me to do? You know, angels just don't show up in front of a man and say, I like your shirt, gotta go. Or appear before a woman and say, oh, nice dress, but I gotta be gone now. You know, when angels come, there's a specific purpose, right? Well, what was that purpose? We're going to learn about it. And how does Gideon respond? Does he say, what task may I do that would require valor? Let's see if he says that. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, Have you ever said that? Oh, my Lord. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now, does this sound like a positive response? An angel comes to Gideon and says, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon gives a negative response. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So the angel gives a positive message, you're a man of valor. And then Gideon focuses on their circumstances, which are far from ideal. Well, what does the angel say? Now it turns to the Lord. And you know the word Lord, one of the meanings of Lord is someone who's superior to you. It's not the only meaning, but someone who's superior. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So here we have a being from heaven. First says, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon comes back with a negative response. But now it says the Lord looks upon him and says, go this in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, do you think that should have made Gideon a little excited? You know, they don't like to be under oppression, the Israelites, and now he's been commissioned by a heavenly being. But how does he respond? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here he's had two positive messages from a heavenly being. You're a man of valor. You can save Israel. And you think he would say, well, Lord, how shall I do this? How shall I start? But instead, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Another way to say that is, I'm the least of the least. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever felt that you were the least of the least? And you thought, what can I do for the Lord? And yet, we know that Gideon did a mighty work when he finally cooperated with the message given by the heavenly being. So we have a second negative, or we have another negative response. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Isn't that the secret to success in life? I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You have another way of saying that. When your army goes out to fight the Midianites, it will be like you're only fighting one man. Now, if you have a whole army against one man, who usually wins? I like to ask simple questions, right? Of course, the army would win. You only have one person to fight. And what is Gideon's response? Here he's had three positive messages from the heavenly beings, and you think by now he would get the message, but instead he says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. That sounds like he was a little weak in faith, right? And there's a message for me and a message for you here is, how many times does God have to prompt you to do something before you'll cooperate with him? Do you need endless signs? Hopefully the answer is no. Now, we're not going to go through those signs, and actually I think he had to be shown two signs. But what was Gideon's accomplishment? Remember, he said he was the least of the least, and he didn't think he could fight, and he was weary about the task given to him. Well, Gideon won a great victory over the Midianites and the Amalekites, and it's interesting that his army was decreased. that we have. If we're just going to follow the world, we might as well just go in the world and save all that money. But if we're serious, we want to be different than the world. So Jesse went to Bethlehem, and so did Samuel, and Jesse was to present his sons before David to see which one would be anointed as the future king. Now Jesse had a total of 8 sons, but only 7 came. We'll talk about that in a moment. Only 7 were brought before Samuel. And Jesse's first son was Eliab, and he was tall and distinguished. And what did Samuel think? This is the one. This is the one. But God rejected all the 7 sons that were brought before him via Samuel. And here's the principle you find in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looketh on the what? Outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Now there's a study a speaker told me about. I didn't verify it's true. It's called a prisoner study. And what they did is they got a group of men who had all committed the same crime. As an example, they had all murdered one person. And then they had a group of citizens look at the picture of all these men who had committed murder or something similar. And they divided them into 3 groups. They were going on their look. And they put one group as the homely men. And then the next group was, you know, kind of in the middle, maybe. And then they had real handsome men. And so they wanted to see how long did they spend in prison. They all had the same crime, right? So they probably would spend the same amount of time in prison. But they found that the good-looking men only spent half as time in prison as the homely men. So that's why if you ever go to prison, as I put up there, keep your hair combed and try to work out at the gym. So we all know looks make a difference. But God says he doesn't look on the outward appearance. Where does he look? On the heart, on the character. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? Remember, he only brought 7 of his sons. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto him, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come people came